So what do we know about Joseph? Within the confines of Matthew's gospel, we know that he is from the house of David, which matters. He is a righteous man. He's engaged to Mary, who, oops, is pregnant, allegedly from the Holy Spirit. He plans to dismiss her quietly. And before he can do so, an angel of the Lord shows up and tells him not to, so he doesn't. And then the angel tells him to name the baby Jesus, so he does. That's it. Most of the other ideas we have about Joseph come from tradition and culture. Joseph is often depicted as an older man, which, meh, who knows? Could Mary have been young and Joseph older? Sure. Does it matter in the context of Matthew's gospel narrative? No. We also get the icon of Saint Joseph the Worker, the Jewish Catholic founder of the Protestant work ethic, maybe, maybe not. This is Joseph in the mold of our modern imaginations. He is a carpenter, an entrepreneur, middle class, upwardly mobile, who taught Jesus how to do carpentry as well. Maybe, maybe not. And then there's Joseph, humble Joseph, the pushover, the sucker. Elaine Pagels, historian and professor of religion, in a recent interview in the New York Times, notes that the Gospels of Matthew and Luke seem kind of embarrassed by Joseph and the paternity question, and that embarrassment has colored some of our takes as well. Joseph is occasionally pitied or overpraised for raising somebody else's child, often with a whiff that he has been bamboozled. Maybe, maybe not. In the excellent book that has been guiding Tim's and my Advent sermon series, The First Advent in Palestine, author Kelly Nikondeha pulls on those little threads of information that we do have about Joseph. Davidic, righteous, engaged, obedient to God. And she pulls those together to knit a richer portrait of the character of Joseph as a complex and courageous player in the birth of Jesus. Nikondeha dubs him Joseph the Just because it is justice that is guiding him and justice that is challenging him. Joseph finds himself in between two types of justice. There is the religious and legal justice owed to him because Mary has apparently violated the marriage contract. She is pregnant and he knows the baby is not his. And at the same time, Joseph is a righteous man and he is committed to the justice that God has been telling the people about over and over. Justice that cares for the widow, the orphan, and the immigrant. For the weak, the marginalized, the outcast, the stigmatized, and the vulnerable. Which is exactly what Mary is and will be, especially if she finds herself pregnant outside of the marriage contract, cast aside by Joseph. Now, Joseph would be well within the justice of the law, well within his rights, if he were to dismiss Mary publicly. The couple were betrothed, which is much different than how we think of engagements today, which are based on verbal promises. But for Joseph and Mary, betrothed means that they had entered into a legally binding contract. And this is a wood carving of them signing that contract. They were in the first phase of that ancient marriage contract, bound to one another and yet not sharing a home. Joseph couldn't just stop responding to Mary's text messages or whatever the equivalent was at the time. They would have had to enter into legal proceedings to terminate this relationship. And not just that, but Joseph was entitled to financial compensation because Mary did not hold up her end of the contract, it seemed. Joseph could have sought the return of the bride price of anything he had put up to secure the marriage, could have recouped that investment, and he could have asked for further compensation. He could have raised a ruckus. He could have made a loud complaint to protect his own innocence, to denounce Mary, and to position himself as a pious man who had been betrayed, which would potentially make his life a little easier because he would be distanced from her shame and he would have the financial reserves to secure a new and maybe even more promising marriage. But he wasn't planning to do that. He was planning to dismiss her as quietly as the law allowed. And in turn, he would take that economic hit of not getting that money back that he had put up. It seems he was worried less about his reputation than about her survival. Because as Nikondeha views it, Mary still mattered to him. Joseph valued Mary as a sacred, beloved child of God. Her sacred worth was still sacred in his eyes. Her potential disgrace and shame was not an occasion for his self-enrichment. Even though the justice of the law said he could do her harm and reap his own benefit, he was ready to walk away, to spare her additional harm, because society already had plenty of harm ready for her. He was trying to walk a fine line between human justice and holy justice, showing Mary a measure of care and then protecting his own status in a very measured way. And then came the angel. Angels are messengers from God, and we can guess that they are pretty terrifying. Because here's your Bible quiz for the day. What is the first thing that almost every angel in the Bible says as soon as someone catches a glimpse of their holy otherness? I know the choir knows. Be not afraid. Do not be afraid, right? That's not your opening line, if you know you're cute. You say, do not be afraid, because you scare people. So this freaky angel shows up to Joseph the Just with this troublesome news. You know that great plan you hatched? To dismiss Mary quietly? It's not good enough. You're going to marry her. She's going to have a baby from the Holy Spirit. That baby is going to save your people. And you will be the one who names him, which will make you his father. The subtext of that angelic message: Joseph, prepare yourself to be implicated in Mary's shame. Prepare to take the credit or the blame for this pregnancy. Accept the social, economic, and religious stigma and consequences, because through Mary and through you, God is doing a new thing. It's a lot to take in, especially during a nap. And Joseph will be righteous because he is doing as God commanded. And yet to the world, he will appear as anything but righteous. Nikondeha writes that this first advent revealed that leaning into God's coming justice puts people at odds with society's and religion's definitions of holiness. Advent just might make life harder. Yet we know what Joseph knew. God is with us. Joseph needed to reconsider, and quickly, what justice was for. Not for reward, or for social status, or for religious adulation or praise. Justice was for doing as God asked. For refusing to abandon a woman to judgment and scorn. For claiming a baby as his own, despite judgment that would come in with that, because he would also be taking on the appearance of sexual impropriety. On that note, the passage ends with the eyebrow-raising statement that Joseph had no marital relations with Mary until she had given birth to a son. That line for sure has been used to shame, but it's not there as a puritanical sex is gross, or Jesus was born without any of that human stuff. Ugh. Instead, it further underlines the fact that justice mattered to Joseph. Just because Mary was pregnant, looking to be in violation of codes of abstinence and purity, Joseph did not take advantage of her. Mary's dignity was still his concern. He continued to treat her as their contract dictated, refraining from marital relations until they lived together. He did not punish her by taking advantage of her body. He did not alleviate his own humiliation by trying to humiliate her. Even though no one will ever know, Joseph did what was right. And when that baby was born, Joseph is the one who names him, which is what the father does. And it is through the naming that Jesus joins the lineage of the house of David, with its many noble and heroic ancestors. None of this was easy for Joseph, just like it wasn't easy for Zechariah, or Elizabeth, or for Mary. God showing up in your life can really be a problem. And yet God showing up means that God is with you. Whatever risks and stigma rear their ugly heads, you are not alone. Joseph deserves our reconsidering, especially if you, like me, need to confess my sins here, if you have seen him just as window dressing or thought of him as forgettable or even labeled him a coward. Joseph is a man discerning the right way forward. When right in front of him is the perfectly legal option, and I'm sure very cathartic option, of self-enrichment, righteous indignation, and dramatic denunciation, he starts to look for that middle path to protect Mary, who was created in the image of God just as he was, while also avoiding personal consequences. And instead, because of the angel's command, he goes all in with Mary, forging a new road for God's justice. A road that doesn't live and die by religious piety and purity. A road where looking holy is not the main point, but bringing love into the world is. God's justice is always bigger. It asks more of us than we can imagine. God's justice can make us look weak and foolish. It makes us vulnerable. And in our vulnerability, we can be hurt. But also, God meets us there, where God met Joseph. Amen.